Hello and welcome to the Track and Food Podcast. You are listening to episode 11 today. Thanks for joining us.
11 already?
Yes.
Holy shit.
How you doing, Mick?
I'm well. I'm not going to say my usual tagline. I usually say yo.
You're not going to say yo?
I'm not going to say
it. I like yo. I feel like it's a part of who you are.
Yeah, I don't know. I change things up. You know, we change the music sometimes on the show. I'm going to change up my my greeting.
Well, we've passed the threshold of the first 10 episodes. I think we're moving into a new threshold. I think
people didn't think we were going to make it. We made it.
Yeah, we made it, I think.
Screw you, everybody. Just kidding. We love everyone listening, of course.
As always, my name is Jamie Ma. I'm your host, and you're listening to Mickey McLeod. This is the Track and Food Podcast, where we talk about food, culture, and anything else that, that we deem interesting in that space. We are located in Vancouver, Canada. We both work in the industry, and today we've decided not to have a guest because we want to talk about a topic that is very dear to Mickey's heart, but it's a topic that I've kind of come to grips, or not grips, or it's a discussion that I'm kind of curious to talk about, which is carnism and veganism and the morality of food choices and where our world is going. And Mickey being the person who is the vegan of us two, seeing as I still love to eat meat and I probably will never give that up.
Man, I'm looking in your eyes right now and you're kind of stewing.
You think I'm wavering?
Yeah, I think for everyone listening, Jamie, he's stewing. He's some contemplative thought going on. I like it for the record. I'm into it.
Well, it's good because I think you probably are right in some ways. This episode is coming from the idea that I was actually going to write about this topic a little while ago. I just finished having laser eye surgery, so I kind of had to put a lot of writing on hold as my eyes were healing. And in the meantime, with this podcast and this topic, I've come to realize that maybe doing this in more of a podcast form was probably going to be a better version instead of me writing about it. And I'm actually really happy to discuss it with you, and it kind of works out perfectly.
Well, actually, for reference and just for people listening so they know, your jump shot, I don't think it's improved much.
Get out of here.
That was kind of the worry that we had, that was the hope anyways, but I'm just bugging. He's jump shot. It's got better.
I'm still healing. I'm not fully there.
You need more time. Absolutely. Okay.
Basketball season's right around the corner, so I think we're both pretty excited for that. So.
Oh, absolutely. We won't talk about that though, but maybe we'll have an episode where we just do
a basketball.
Yeah, just rip off the Ringer NBA podcast show.
Awesome. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about carnism, and it's probably a word that none of you've ever heard of. It's a word that came to my purvey about 2 months ago when I was listening to the Ezra Klein show on Vox Media. If you've never checked out his show, I highly recommend it. Vox Media is a great website, I should say. They are actually doing a really cool series right now on Netflix called Explained. Anyways, Ezra Klein is one of the founders of that website. He has now an offshoot of his own podcast. I've been listening to another podcast of theirs for a long time now called The Weeds, where they talk about a lot of politics and social justice and things like that. And this podcast episode that I was listening to a little while ago, it was titled Taking the Green Pill, I think is what it's called. No, it's just called The Green Pill. And he brought on a lady by the name of Dr. Melanie Joy. And what they talked about is her book that she had written a couple of years ago, and it's called Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows. And she's a vegan, of course, and she's also a social activist. And she wrote this book based on the idea of our ability to turn a blind eye to the fact that we all care and coddle, you know, cats and dogs, but we will turn a blind eye to the horrors and atrocities of the way we kill pigs and cows and chickens and so forth, and the inhumanity of that, and how we as a society have come to normalize it. And when I was listening to this podcast, I thought it was really interesting, and I got you, Mickey, to listen to it, and I'll try to get your thoughts on that as well. But it really kind of struck a chord with me because I've known about this kind of...
this issue?
Yeah, this issue for a long time now. Thank you. With, you know, having read a little bit of... I've read some of Michael Pollan's work. I saw Food Inc. I've seen other documentaries where you see the way chickens are raised, and you see the way cows and other forms of animals are killed and slaughtered, and it's kind of inhumane. But you still turn a blind eye, and I wake up in the morning and you have eggs, and you go and have a steak, and you have a burger. And
well, you've been slowly, slowly, incrementally digesting the green pill over a certain amount of time.
I think so. Yeah.
You're almost at the end, buddy.
And I think for the reason why they call it taking the green pill is I think they talk about this in the podcast, and how she references a lot of Matrix analogies. It's crazy how when you like look back on that movie, I remember watching it in 1999, actually here in Vancouver when I first came to visit with my sister, and being in the theater. And like literally walking out and being like, holy fuck.
Oh, it's blue pill, red pill. So her little thing is green pill for like the earth.
Oh, for the earth and the vegan thing.
So blue pill is you go down the rabbit hole. Blue. Right.
Okay. She coined this term carnism in the sense that people nowadays in the world have this term for veganism, and it's a way of labeling people who've chosen to not eat meat and those byproducts and live a certain life. And it brings to light kind of the idea of, like, when you think of other forms of that construct, and like feminism, and, you know, basically you're forming a certain amount of people who've come up with an idea of kind of like a minority or group. But what she tries to talk about is, we need to coin a term for the majority. And the majority is most people have been raised on the idea of eating meat and dairy products and whatever. And most people love it. Most people don't think, you know, it's just been something you've been doing. And it's been something that's been done for thousands of years. And it's, for a lot of people, it's a very natural thing. It's also, you know, if I was to ask certain cultures to all of a sudden stop eating meat because it's a moral thing, it can be very difficult where they live in geography or costs, if they may not be able to do that. And so she talks about this on the podcast and how, like, that's not kind of the idea of what they're trying to get at. It's just trying to understand and kind of bring it into the foreground. And I don't know. I mean, what were your thoughts on, like, listen?
Yeah, well, she, first of all, I thought it was very insightful. I didn't read any of her books, but through the podcast, I mean, Ezra Klein's like, man, that dude is like, he's very good expressing his opinions.
Had you heard him before?
I had heard a few of his things before, but I hadn't actually listened to a full podcast of his. Man, if you ever want to like learn stuff about stuff, man, listen to him. Yeah. He has a really great knack of explaining things in a way that's accessible to, I think, the average person or someone who really doesn't know much on that topic. She has a really interesting way too of making the subject accessible to not only people who are eating meat and people who have chosen the vegan lifestyle. Hate that word, vegan. I still even to this day.
Why do you hate that word?
It's just...
Do you feel like you're being labeled like negatively?
It does have a negative connotation, I think. And also, I'm not a big fan of labels in general.
Okay.
I personally, for myself, like to think of it as just being like conscious of like a certain issue, right? So for me, it's nothing to do with health. And getting back to how she broaches the subject, she kind of categorizes everything as carnism, which is great. So it immediately disarms people who are like, you know, the term meat eater or the term like carnivore or whatever. Carnism, which she actually frames it, and her concept of it, or like the theory of it, is a system of which we've all been a part in.
Yeah.
Which is totally, the Matrix analogy is brilliant.
It's a real, like, when she brought that up and I thought about it, I was like, holy shit, that's exactly what it is.
And it's just something that we were born into essentially, and it's been going on for centuries. And I really love, I just read this really dope book. It's called The Future of Humanity. And it's by this guy named Michio Kaku. He is a theoretical physicist at New York University. And he broaches a lot of these sort of issues facing humanity. And the tie-in here is the earth, right? So the food industrial complex and all these, you know, crazy things, like, you know, take away aside from the brutal slaughtering of, you know, millions and millions of human lives, animal lives. See, that's
now you're thinking Matrix.
That's how far in is I think of them as human lives, right? But it kind of ties in because just the damage that's doing to the planet, right? So she does a really great job of, and anyone listening to this podcast, go ahead and listen to that one.
We'll definitely make sure that there's a link when we post this podcast.
Just a great way of opening the dialogue to both groups and making it not, you know, bipartisan in terms of like, you have to pick this side, you have to pick the other side, or like, you can't eat meat, or you're like contributing to this huge global problem, atrocity and problem, right? Something that's a really, you know, a really good issue facing the earth, right? So really great job on how to approach it so we can actually try to look at how to fix it and like look about, before even fixing it, look about how to even have like an actual discussion about it, right?
So here's a question that I have for you. Oh, I have two, actually.
I'm vegan.
Yes. But I think one of them is also, it comes down to the point, is she brings up the idea of like why we do these things. But so there's going to be a lot of people who are going to listen to this podcast and be like, I like meat. And, you know, if you're asking me to stop eating meat, some people might be thinking, okay, if I kill a cow humanely, you know, if I, instead of like, you know, you hear about all these factory farms and like
the halal,
the halal way or whatever, is that less of a way of doing it? Or is she saying, like, that's the one thing people are probably, I'm assuming some people are going to be thinking, I thought it myself, is like, let's say we stop doing it the inhumane way. You know, you heard the factory farms, all that stuff was done and we just did it more humane.
Right.
Would you still feel an injustice in that way? Do you feel like the idea of just killing animals for consumption for food is a negative thing that should just never happen? Or that was the only thing that I'm kind of curious about, because the one thing that she talks about, this, she you bring it up right here, she says, I don't want this to be a bipartisan issue where it's vegans and carnism or carnists or whatever, however you want to say it.
Carnivores.
Yeah, who are going to be fighting against each other and picking, right. You have to pick a side. You know, like, whereas for me right now, I've chosen over the last several years to eat less of a meat-centric diet. Mostly, for me, for the longest time, it was just more just for health reasons.
Right.
I felt like I'm making better choices to be healthier, so I'm going to eat less meat. So I rarely buy it at home, but then if I went out for dinner, I'd buy a pork chop. And that is something I still do, and I probably will continue because I still really enjoy that. But when I think of what they talked about in this podcast and the way she frames things, and then also the way she's made me conscious of stuff that I already knew. You know, I've known the way certain animals are slaughtered and the way they're raised, and it's very inhumane. And I've had to turn a blind eye. I think she calls it psychic numbing. I think it's a term, or maladaptive. Oh, there's a word that I think she was using, but it's a way of like kind of knowing, but not knowing. You know that it's happening, but you turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
You know, I think we, as humans, we do that all the time. I think, you know,
brain is a really, really powerful tool.
Yeah, like what? I mean, living in a world where we live and we know that atrocities are happening every day around us, but we choose to understand that they exist, but we choose not to let them come to the forefront, because if you let that happen, you probably would be just numb from just everything and you wouldn't be able to do anything. You just...
Well, I mean, I feel it's obviously specific to each individual, but there could be a case of psychic numbing or a case of just bearing down things in your psyche very deep. But I'm sure there's also people who just, they don't give a fuck. They love meat, right? And it's actually a conscious decision. So I think for every individual lies the actual truth, right? Which is, that's why the way she's broaching it and the way she writes about it in her book is obviously to get, like I said, to get everyone to the table to talking about it. Because for me personally, I'm not like, I make my life choices for me. Not for everyone else. Like, I'm not a person, and I never have been, to sort of try to push what I feel is right on anyone else, right? Like, I have no problem with people eating meat. I have no problem with people going to getting takeout sushi and like throwing...
But could you date a meat eater?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah? It wouldn't be an issue?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, these things always get, you know, we read the news and we read all these like hot takes and all this shit that's designed to trigger emotion and an emotional response in us. So for each individual person, it's different, right? So, you know, it's hard to speak for others, right? For me personally, like, I do my own shit. Like, I make my own decisions for myself personally, and I don't like try not to think about what other people are doing.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I mean, that's a good way of doing it. And
it's important. Don't get me wrong. Just, that's my...
Well, that was always my thing. Like, when you see about all these things that happen in the world, and people are like, you know, like, for the longest time, it's still happening. It's like, people are, you know, governments are against, you know, gay marriage. I'm like, why do you care? You're not going to the wedding anyways. Why do you care what other two other people want to do? That's two people want to get married. Why is that? Why do you have any problem?
And look at where we are today.
Or same thing with abortion. If, you know, abortion rights, and it's a big thing in a lot of...
It's
a very tricky subject, but I mean,
it's
what it is.
Too
but
much,
it's like,
too much on that
But
subject.
I mean, think about it. If a woman gets pregnant and she chooses that she wants to not have the baby, that is her choice. Why is it up to me to make a choice for her? And I think that's wrong. And I agree with you on that one.
Well, she points out in the podcast, they do make effort to branch a lot of different topics together. And, you know, for arguing against the staunch Catholic Christian who's grown up, like, believing wholeheartedly that inception is when a life is born, to that person, getting an abortion is killing a human, right?
Yeah,
and
no,
those people would argue that, why do you care about the life of an animal when, like, you're killing humans, like actual humans, like God's creatures, right? All, they're all God's creatures, but they actually make a point in drawing parallels to those topics and other ones as well. They're all hot button issues in society. Facing society.
Well, right? I think one of the things they even start
I'm not on either side. Just to be clear on this.
No, podcast. but it's kind of weird because I understand that. But I mean, it's like, at the end of the day, it doesn't affect you. So, and I think one of the issues that people, like, the vegan culture and the vegan
at the end of the day, what doesn't affect you?
What doesn't affect you? If you grew up in a very Christian home or whatever, and you decide, and you are like raised a certain way, and you're raised to believe that, like, you know, once inception happens, that baby is like, that's a human being.
That's
now.
Human, yeah.
That's how you believe. But if someone else doesn't believe that and they choose to have an abortion, that has no bearing on you, and you have no right to tell them what they can and cannot do.
Right. Okay. So,
but a lot of people do, and a lot of people like to put their faces.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what issue you're talking about. when it's designed to be divisive and emotionally triggered,
yeah,
that's just kind of what stokes the flames of major problems in society. Right?
Well, what triggers it then, right? So it's like with this vegan and carnism like issue, I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that like for the longest time, I think when the vegan culture basically started back in like the 60s with like the hippie movement, all this stuff, people like associated with that. Like,
yeah, you're a vegan, you're a hippie. It's been around for a long ass time, man.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. There's a lot of, and it's...
Dude, in like the 13th century with like in India and like China and stuff like that, veganism has been around forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot, but it's given this bad connotation, especially in Western society over the last like 40, 50 years of like, it's associated with like, you smoke a lot of weed and you're like a hippie and you grow your own, you know, you wear certain clothes.
Western culture. Who's going to say, people still say that?
Yes. And it happens all the time. So it's like, okay, so if I was to tell all my friends right now, hey, I've had an aha moment. I've decided I just don't want to eat meat anymore. And they invite me over to the place and I'm at a barbecue and they're like, I'm like, hey guys, I've just chosen not to eat meat anymore. They're like, what do you, like they would throw all those words at me.
Of course. Yeah.
So that's a stereotyping and it's come from something. And
well, it's a form of social peer pressure. B, it's a form of bullying.
Absolutely.
C, it's a form of insecurity for those people saying those things, right?
Yeah. Well, it's also the idea that what the carnism idea comes from is the way the majority eats has become so normal and so entrenched that doing anything against the grain is it's hard for them to understand.
Right. Okay, so let me ask you a question. So for me personally, the major issue I see is the degradation of the planet and also
let's get to this first. Why did you become vegan first?
Well, hold on, let me finish my question. So there's a big ethical issue here, obviously. We're not like skirting around the idea. For me, I would say it's probably 95% ethical, 5% health conscious. But that being said, if there was an ethical way for people who need meat to get meat, where there'd be sort of a halal or maybe it be grown in a lab chemically, which we all know is happening right now.
You're going to go buy that Burger King burger? Right
now? Absolutely, for sure. If I can eat the DNA, for people listening, we had Chef Bruce Nolan on and we talked about the Impossible Burger on a group Facebook chat ever since. And we talked about that episode. So I think that was episode six.
Episode six, yeah.
Yeah. So my question is, and this is a question for myself too that I'm asking, if there was a way, so you take all these like disgusting slaughterhouses and all these like major mass meat producing factories, you slim them down, you make them green, whatever, you add, you know, soil tiles on top, you just cut down the volume and you make meat this like kind of premium thing that only like, you know, you have to pay top dollar for. You can still get it and you just trim down production and you make it more environmentally friendly. Is that a solution, a short-term solution to the problem of the meat industry?
Okay, well, possibly. But then you have to think about the other things. The cost analysis of all the people losing possibly jobs. And right. Also, how do you like...
Fuck people in their fucking jobs. It's the fucking earth, man. Do you want a place to live or not?
Well, I'm all for that. But people don't think that way. And then the other one is like, if you slim down, are we going to have enough food to feed everyone?
Yeah. The people... Okay, this is the fucking problem with like this whole scare tactic fucking rhetoric that like... automation and the rise of the robotic age, people are going to lose jobs. You don't fucking lose jobs. Robots and machines are designed. If you told someone in 1920 that people that the things that are going to make in cars would be fucking automated machines, it'd be like, oh my God, we're going to lose our jobs. No, people become fucking administrators. They become fucking technical experts.
You get a job in a different field.
In the meat industry, the same thing. You oversee, there will be more jobs created and you need people to maintain the solar panels. There's are many, many jobs people have. That's just the bullshit fucking scare tactic to push people to, you know, not take the fucking, the green pill. The way society's progressing, you know, time goes on, things will change. We're starting to put infrastructure in place. Like you said, gay people now, which is obviously the right thing, can now all get married. Maybe not in some states, in the States, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it's the right thing. So over time, humans will make the right choices. The food industry is no different than any other major social issue in the world, facing our world, right? It's going to evolve and it's going to change. And, you know, positive things should happen, right?
Well, it's kind of interesting because when they do the podcast, they talk about that. And she says that eventually humans are going to make the right choice and eventually the whole world is probably going to go
vegan. Shouldn't we?
No, but she says the whole world will probably eventually go vegan.
Yeah. Well, the elephant in the room is the weaning ourselves off fossil fuels. That's the big one, right?
Well, that's the big one, right?
But it's directly related to the industrial complex.
Yeah, I mean, well, you've got to think about all the big factors of this. But okay, so if we were to talk about the difference between carnism and veganism, and we're trying to discuss how they interplay, when you listen to a podcast like this, what do you come away from it as someone who's on one side already? Would you try to think, I want to impart what I view on this subject, like illuminated towards people like myself and other people, and say, I want you to see this, and I want you to listen to this, and I want you to come away from it thinking, like, I want you to have your aha moment and come to my side? Or are you like, would you be okay with people listening to it and being, even this podcast as well, and still making that choice and say, I still want to eat meat and I don't care?
Yeah, we're like podcasting off of a podcast. It's like a podcast piggyback.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I just like the idea of it. And that's really what it is. Yeah. I think the idea of it's interesting because what it does, it brings up, we got two cats fighting right now.
The cat fight going on. It's fine. They're friends.
But I mean, what I like about it is that, okay, so when I've read other books on this stuff and I've seen some documentaries and things like this, and I think one of the things is it does gross me up. You know, and they bring it up, and I think one of the examples she talks about, she's like, I had some friends over and we made a stew, and they're like, oh, this stew's so delicious, give me the recipe. And she's like, well, it's 3 pounds of
golden retriever.
Yeah, golden retriever, whatever. Right. So it's like, okay, so, but if you were to say that to someone right now, they'd be like, oh my God, how dare you do that? How do you, and it's like, but then it brings up the point is like, okay, but if you can't eat a dog, but you can eat a pig, what's the difference? Right. So I guess the question is how do you answer that question? How do you get over that, like, how do you get people to care to the point where they're gonna see what, like, do you actually physically feel like you need to bring people to those factories and actually see them slaughtered so for them to actually not turn a blind eye to it? Because I still struggle with that sometimes. I still struggle. I know some people do. Like, I think about this in the morning, and I've read a lot about how the egg industry is horrible for hens, and yet every morning my girlfriend wants to eat eggs, and I don't like eggs just because I just don't really like eating them. And I'm not judging her in any way. She likes eggs, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. People, like, that's the whole industry. People love eggs for breakfast. But my brain has come to the point where I think about it now. And so I think about that, and I'm not saying that that's the reason why I'm not eating them, but it's like, do you need to get people to think about that more, or do you feel like they need to have more visual cues? Or, like, that's one thing that I'm starting to wonder, because is it something that we want people to get to that point, or do we want people to accept the idea that what we're doing to the world and what we're doing to these animals is awful, you know? And they probably feel just as much pain as the dog if you were to just do that right now. Like your cat right now, we could eat your cat, you know? But
he's joking, Pete. Pete looks not very concerned at all.
Yeah, Pete's like, go ahead.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, like you say right now that how long have you been vegan, by the way?
4.5 years.
Okay. Initially, it was because of social, right? It wasn't because of the health reasons.
No, I mean, like, I can answer your question by telling my personal story. So when I was really young, I actually didn't like meat. So my mom tells me stories all the time where I would actually, like, spit steak out and eat. And I actually would go, like, sometimes 2-3 years without eating any meat. And she was actually really worried because she wanted me to get animal protein, right? Because of we need animal protein. You can't see, cause I'm doing air quotes right now, but you need animal protein to be healthy and get strong bones, which is complete bullshit. I already had a predisposition for not liking meat, so I guess I was lucky. And even throughout my younger adult life, I never really liked steak. I was never into like rare steak or anything like that. I would always eat like chicken or like turkey, like the cleaner tasting meats. And then in about 2013, I had always like had it in the back of my mind, right? I'm a huge animal fan. Like, I volunteer at the SPCA. I'm a huge advocate I'm a huge advocate against animal cruelty. Honestly, who isn't really? If you're not.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's the whole point of this conversation, is that everyone feels the same way. If we were to walk down the street right now and you see someone beating up a dog, you would fucking lose your mind and you'd call the police and they would go to jail.
Oh yeah, of course.
Or something would happen, right? But yeah. if we see a couple miles down the road in some farm, someone's doing the same thing to a cow, and we know this is happening because it does happen.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so I saw the movie, the 2006 film Earthlings, narrated by Brad Pitt. And if anyone listening hasn't seen that, that was kind of like one of the first ones where they sort of went undercover into these killing floors and factories. And it is savage. Like, I would recommend anyone listening, if you maybe are thinking about switching over to the dark side of veganism, that'd probably be a good place to start. So after I watched that, I was like, man, I'm doing this. And then I just kind of slowly weaned myself off. But I did at the same time I didn't just stop eating animal products and meat. I stopped eating like refined sugar. I just started eating like a lot healthier. Like it was kind of a package deal for me. But to answer your previous question, you can't really, you know, everyone has to go through their own
process. That's what
process,
I think.
Yeah. Or thought process. And then it's not bad if you decide, hey, I'm okay with eating meat, or I'm okay with, you know, these factories being operational. That's fine. That's your choice. So it's so hard, you know, with social media today and like activism or slacktivism, as they like to call it, you know, people posting shit on Facebook and Instagram. It's so hard to know when a right time is to like maybe say to someone who like Jamie, who I can tell is thinking about being vegan, to be like, hey man, it's okay to think that way, or it's okay to like, maybe here's a book to read, or maybe this, or like we're doing this podcast. So I think it's really tricky in this day and age to be able to A, voice your opinion, B, do it in a genuine way, in a genuine and caring way, and then also like not offend someone who has a different belief system than you. So,
well, and I think the one thing that I've struggled with, and I think this is probably something that I think a lot of vegans are struggling with, is a lot of vegans who are now converting to this idea of what they want to eat, maybe healthier. I mean, you know, not, I shouldn't say it's healthier, because I think that comes across as wrong, because I think,
well, plant-based is healthier.
It is healthier, but
so
I mean,
if you're going vegan, you're cutting out like high processed sugar foods.
Yeah, that
you're
part.
Out,
yes, that part's fine. But I mean, like, people have been eating, like, if you were to go out and just cut a piece of steak off a cow that was raised healthily, I can't see it being too bad for you. Like, your body's able to process, and there's probably a lot of good nutrition and nutrients in there. I think if you eat it in a poor way,
there's
or
nothing. Okay, so there's nothing, and I've spent the last six years of my life researching this. There's nothing that an animal protein has that plant protein doesn't. It's one of these fallacies. It's one of these like things that we've been lied to about our whole lives.
Okay.
If you say were to cut out however many pounds of red meat you ate in a week, and you replace that with like dark green leafy vegetables like broccoli, spinach, fucking zucchini, and asparagus, not only would you be getting the same amount of protein, iron, all the B12 and everything your body needs, you're actually getting a cleaner version of that. Right?
Ooh, I love seeing you charge up like this.
Yeah, fired up. You knew this was going to happen. But no, it's completely true. And if anyone doesn't believe me listening, just go online and like research yourself. But go to a site that's actually not, you know, a paid advertisement by a government agency or something. Go to like, dig a bit deeper, like go to maybe the third or fourth page on Google, like get more information from more sources, and you'll find better answers, right?
Okay. But I guess the other question is, and this is something that I'm still struggling with, the idea is, okay, so if I want to go this way, and I want to, the hardest part I think a lot of people struggle with, and what I was trying to get at with like new vegans, and this is something that I got frustrated and I made fun of you before, is the virtuous pies.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, okay, so we've been raised a certain way to eat certain foods for so long. And there's a lot of foods that we love that involve meat
pizza,
or animal
pizza burgers,
prime example. So, and the biggest one,
lasagna,
and the first thing I always come back to this one is that, okay, I can go without eating steak, I can go without eating a pork chop, I can go without eating chicken, but for a lot of people the simple one is cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a lot of people it's like, okay, I can do these things, but then there's this.
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess the struggle for some people is like, there's so many delicious foods that involve meat or animal byproducts. It's how do I get to a point where, like, how do I reckon that? Because you're now asking people to get rid of a lot of things that they love that have been part of their lives. Like, if you were to tell me right now, Jamie, you're a vegan, but you can never eat pizza again, I'd be like, eh. You know what I mean? So it's like, but then you have to eat. And that's why I get crass with the ideas of the virtuous pies of the world, because I don't like that, because you're ruining something that is what it is. But then I understand why it's happening, because people are losing that something, because
okay,
it's been part of their lives.
So I guess the question.
So I guess the question is like, it's, the carnism lifestyle and the vegan lifestyle are very different, but people, for the majority of people, they've been raised in this carnistic lifestyle, and a lot of the foods we eat are part of that, and a lot of things. So for a lot of people, letting go of that, because it's been so ingrained in them for so long, it's a very difficult thing, and that's why they try to come up with like these vegan options. And I'm not saying that coming up with those options are wrong. I'm just saying it really makes it hard for people to crack in. So it's like, if someone's listening to this podcast right now and they're like, hey, I don't want to do that. You know, I love cheese and I don't see any problem eating cheese. I'm not, you know, but you know what I mean? Like it's real. Like, I guess this idea comes down to is it's a fundamental societal change. It's not something that you can just like, cause I'm always, it's not something that's just easily changed. You just stop eating steak and it's fine. It's like, you're really changing the foundation of like the way the entire like world eats. And that's what I think is really interesting. And I think that's why a lot of people maybe struggle with it.
So, I did it.
Well, I get it. You can do it.
Wait, let me ask you a question. What is it about, so you're, say you have a nice juicy piece of chicken breast or you have a piece of bacon cooking. What is it about the taste sensation that you love so much? Like, is it the actual broken down flavorings of it? The high fat content, the trans fats, the sizzling of bacon. Is it the sound? Is it like the whole thing together? Like the ritual of cooking a steak on the barbecue?
Probably a bit of it. It's probably a bit of everything.
I agree.
Okay, so right now, like the one thing.
So it's not just the taste.
And I agree with you. I think the one thing that comes down to it for a lot of people is like if you were to say take away meat, for a lot of people, it's the whole social thing.
Right.
Barbecuing is a thing. Barbecuing is bringing my friends over around a grill and grilling. You know, if you say, I'm going to have a barbecue, but I'm only going to grill vegetables, people are going to be like, what?
Okay, but what's the difference if I bring, say we're having Smokies or hot dogs.
Yeah.
What's the difference if we do the same thing? We come over, we have a glass of wine, we have some beer, we hang out, we listen to some music. If on the grill, instead of throwing on an actual meat hot dog, what's the difference of me throwing on a veggie hot dog?
That I agree with you. There's nothing. But I think what we're trying to get at is I think what we need to do is if you change the food parameters that our society has been based around, you kind of have to change a lot of other things.
Like yeah. Shit needs to change.
But what I'm saying is you'd have to actually change the idea of barbecues.
What's the difference? It's a piece of equipment that has coals that light up, that cooks something. It doesn't have to be meat.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
But for you, it has to be meat.
No, I'm not saying for me. Generally for me, for what it's always been.
You were the carnivore and I was the vegan here.
No, but I mean, I guess that's what I'm trying to say is it's like our whole society, it's like your Wednesday nights, you know, Wing Wednesday, say things like this. It's like,
Those vegan wings though, the boneless ones? I've always thought of wings as just a carrier for hot sauce. So for me, it's like, no problem.
So what you're trying to get at is you can recreate that sensation.
Yeah.
So do you think it's because people are craving the sensation of that flavor or do you think it's the social? Because I think it's more social.
It's everything together. But that's what I'm saying. My point is that the meat is the least important aspect of the entire thing. Okay. Right?
It's the social parameters that come around.
Absolutely. When you go out to dinner, we've talked about this before, you go out for a nice dinner, you know, what's the difference if you're having a steak or if you're having a cauliflower steak? There's really no difference except for the feeling you get after, which would be that sort of like heavy, sedated meat, you know, feeling. Aside from that, which is actually, it's funny that she equates it to The Matrix because that sensation of being full from food is one of those other things that we accept as a norm, right? And I, as guilty as anyone, I eat like a vegan hot dog or a Smokey and sometimes I'll just be feeling gluttonous and I'll have two. And after I'll be like, oh my fuck, why did I do that? But you shouldn't feel, any nutritionist will tell you, any person who has a really healthy diet, like Lance Armstrong or any of these athletes, well, maybe he's a bad example because he was doping, but any professional athlete will tell you, you're not supposed to feel full and sedated after you eat, right? You're supposed to feel energized and healthy, which is what a healthy diet is supposed to do. So that sensation of sedation, I think, is part of this whole lexicon we live in of like meat and like a meat culture and like all these like false facts we're getting about like nutrition. Like, remember when you were growing up? What were the four food groups?
What? Again,
fucking dairy?
Dairy,
wheat, or barley or whatever product, meat, and like what is the other one? Like Kool-Aid or something like that?
No, it was, well, vegetables and stuff like
that. Oh, they had vegetables in there? And what is it now? That is completely false. Those are actually like the things that are most detrimental to your health now.
I think 20 years later. I think Canada's Food Guide just came out just recently and I think they just changed a part of it.
Yeah, actually. Guess what? Fucking plants. That's it.
I'm going to look that up right now. I'm around more people now who are vegan. I'm around more people now who are making those choices. And
I wonder what the numbers are. Like in the past, I don't know, 10
well,
years.
I mean, yeah, like I live in Chinatown now and here in Vancouver and there's a vegan supply store right around the corner from me now that just opened up.
Yeah, there's one I'm in Carisdale. There's one called, it's where I get all my food now. It's called like West Coast Organics or something like that.
Yeah.
Everything you need. And it's just like around the corner.
And
but it only used to be just Whole Foods, right?
And there's an Umalumo place that does like...
Side note, fuck Whole Foods and Jeff Bezos, the now richest man in the history of fucking
civilization. I love Whole Foods. Why do you hate Whole Foods?
Because he bought... Do you not know that Amazon bought Whole Foods?
Yes, I know that. I wrote about it last year.
Do you not know he's pushing out all of the legit organic suppliers because he's low cutting the cost of everything and pretty soon it's going to be a fucking Safeway? Do you not know that?
I didn't know that part. I didn't know he's trying to push them all out.
I'm not trying to attack you. I'm sorry. I'm just really passionate about Amazon.
Where did you hear this?
Just over the past, since they bought it.
Well, I knew that when they bought it, he was going to drive prices down.
I'm digging deeper, Jamie. I'm not just going to CBC.com.
Don't ruin Whole Foods for me.
Don't ruin Whole Foods. No, no. it's not that way yet, but it's getting there. If you notice, you'll see certain brands not popping up there anymore. Like Beanfield chips, they're out now. They don't sell them anymore because their whole thing with going with Whole Foods as opposed to like Choices or Safeway or something like that is because they could afford to sell there because the prices that Whole Foods had, it justified their margins, right? Oh. So now what's happening is everyone's like super pumped because Whole Foods is dropping their prices. But like, what are you going to like, something's got to give. Like you can't get, you can get a 2 liter cola for fucking 75 cents for sure, but it's going to fucking rot your insides. But you can pay $12 for, you know, a 500 milliliter thing of prune juice, which is really fucking good for you. So like, you know what I mean? That's why people are up in arms. Well,
if you want to get onto like monetary policy and all these things, man, we can do a podcast.
We'll do that next time.
I was reading about all this stuff yesterday and I'm so pissed off about all these stock buybacks that are going on.
Yeah.
Fucking, this shit's driving me crazy.
Dude, your Bitcoin and marijuana stocks are going to take a hit.
No, not even that. But you hear about all these, like fucking Apple just became the first $1 trillion company and they just... and then you hear about the fact that like, because the whole idea of a, I'm sorry, this is a complete off tangent.
Go man, go.
But it's just like, if anybody's interested about this stuff, it's just like these companies are taking their profits and buying back their stock to manipulate the market. So their stocks go higher. So the CEOs get bigger bonuses instead of spending that money on innovation and hiring a better wage. Just anyways, I don't want to go.
Yeah, they're called zombie stocks. It's been around fucking since the dawn of time.
No, it's been around since 1980s. And you know what? You know who's the
invented? Yeah. Well,
biggest fucking devil of the world? Ronald Reagan.
Oh,
fuck him. If I could see him right now, I'd
super opinionated on this podcast.
I'd punch that guy right in his face right now.
Hey, people let it happen, man. That's why this whole issue of veganism is a conduit for change, if you think about it, wrapped in with all these different issues facing us as humans on a planet, right?
Yeah. Well, but I believe one of the main reasons why I love going to Whole Foods all the time is because I'm a firm believer of like, you are what you eat. And yeah. I'm not, that's one thing I've never made a choice on. It. Like, even if I had like very little money, I'd still buy the best of something because I'm like, you are what you eat and I'm not going to put shitty food in my body.
Yeah, but you can also, well, I mean, you I do sometimes. All I shouldn't the say Chinese that. I markets that have fresh produce around too.
Yeah.
That's essentially a vegan store, right?
Absolutely.
But so, if you want, you know, if you need something like, you know, fake mayonnaise or like whatever, it's nice you can go not just to Whole Foods now, you can go to all these different little vegan places popping up. And there's a cool company I want to mention called Plant Base, B-A-S-E. And they're a local Vancouver company. They do all plant-based foods, no chemicals, no fucking xanthar gum, none of this binding shit. They do use a little bit of safflower oil and either gluten. I'm a huge fan of gluten, by the way.
Because gluten is fine.
Gluten is fine.
Because 95% of people don't have gluten allergies.
Yeah, and they do everything from, speaking of fake cheese, they do a cheddar cheese that tastes, my gosh, like so close to it. And they do all these things. They do like vegan chicken cutlets and all this kind of stuff.
Where is this place?
I think they're off of Main Street, similar to, if anyone has ever had Spreads, they're a local Vancouver company too, man. So please support Spreads and also Plant Base because they're dope and they do it the right way. They do it like very healthy. So
there's two ways of looking at the story. There's the ways of looking at it for the health benefits and eating healthy and it being better for your lifestyle and all stuff. And then there's also the side of the morality of choice when it comes to the way we choose to kill animals for our own consumption. So I guess understanding both those sides, and it's interesting because you obviously chose one of the sides was one of the main dominating factors for you to become vegan. And the other side has been more my reason. I was more inclined towards eating just healthier and I felt like meat was not good for me all the time. So that's why I was eating less of it. But now as I listen to podcasts like this and gets more into it, I'm starting to think that the morality part is more hitting me now. And I'm starting to feel more guilty for making these choices.
But that's the natural, like we said, that's a natural progression of everyone having their own experience, not just with veganism, but anything. If you look into, you know, the banking system or like, you know, the history of like monarchies and neo-feudalism, like all this stuff you have to kind of find on your own because the mainstream media is not going to tell you about it. And you have to kind of come to your own realizations. And also, I mean, I hate this idea of like one or the other, right? It's like, I'm a vegan or I'm a meat eater, or this whole duality of it is not like realistic to like real, because there's always options. You can, like you said, you cut down your meat eating, you cut down, you know, instead of like driving somewhere, you'll walk. Like as humans, we're making these choices on a day-to-day basis to sort of reduce the harm that we're doing to the earth. Right. And in turn, you know, how many animals we're killing. So it's not like I would tell anyone to be like, oh, you have to fucking stop eating animals. Like, no way. I would say, yes, we need to shut down these crazy slaughterhouse factories that are like fucking horrifying. And not even to mention the animals that are just like being like raped and killed and mutilated.
The environment, that
but
area,
the ecosystem. Humans that have to work in those environments too. Nobody talks about the psychological effect of these people who have to work in these fucking and slit these animals' throats on a day-to-day basis. Like, what does that do to you as a person? Like, unless you're a complete like psychopath.
Well, and they talk about that in the podcast, how like, I think she brought up the idea of like the Nazi stuff, like I think, which is a complete...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she brings up the idea of like how these people were working...
That was the psychic numbing thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were working in these internment camps and killing all these Jews, and then they would go home to the wife and family at the end of the day and be fine.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how the fuck do you do
but
that?
But that's like...
That's completely...
That's fine, but like there is some sort of weird... like eternal damage that's going to do to you.
Oh my God. For sure. Could you imagine working on a killing floor for like 10 years and just slaughtering all these animals and how numb you would become afterwards to like that whole...
Yeah, it's not good for anybody.
No. Well, I mean, what is it? PTSD is kind of like the big thing that happens to like soldiers when they come back from war. It's like, you can't imagine what they've seen and it's scarring. Yeah. Right? So
I feel like we're getting so just for everyone listening, it's not usually our style to get super preachy about stuff.
No,
and I apologize if we sound preachy because we're trying not to be.
No, but that's not the goal. I'm not trying to be preachy at all. But my thing is, I just want
you're
to
pretty just, preachy sometimes.
Well, maybe. Don't fuck with Whole Foods, buddy.
Don't fuck with Whole Foods. I still go there, man. I'm like fucking like such a hypocrite right now because I still go there, but I try not to go as much.
You know, one of the main reasons why I loved Whole Foods is because I went in there for the first time. I first discovered Whole Foods in 2005 in Toronto in Hazelton Lanes in Yorkville. And I remember it was haphazardly. I just walked in there.
Yeah, there wasn't even one in Vancouver at that point.
No, and I walked in there and you like go down the escalator and I walked in. It was just this massive grocery store and they just had all these options that I'd never seen in a grocery store, like all this hot prepared food. And I was like, what is this? And it just kind of blew my mind. And then it was just all these things and it was like, you could tell it was geared towards more like, I wouldn't say it's higher quality, but just a different style of quality of food. And I was just like, oh my God, this is probably the greatest thing I've ever discovered and the worst thing I've ever discovered because it's really fucking expensive.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called Whole Paycheck by a lot of people.
Absolutely. But that's the thing we've talked about price on this podcast before. And obviously it sucks if someone can't afford to eat highly nutritious food, but that's kind of a different issue, right? So,
that's government policy.
Government policy. And it's all like wrapped in. Like we should just do like a pyramid domino podcast where we just like list off all the problems of society and how they're interrelated.
Oh my God.
Let's email Ezra. Maybe he'll help us out.
Yeah. We'll do a podcast with him.
Yeah, right.
So, be good.
Maybe one day.
Well, I don't know. I mean, leaving this whole subject, like kind of walking away from this idea, I definitely agree with you. I've been on my own journey with this whole thing. I'm eating less meat. I'm not doing it because of, I mean, I'm obviously doing it because of a lot of these reasons, but it's also because I just want to make, I wouldn't say better choices, but I'm being more aware. And I think that's the whole concept of what they were trying to get at with her book and this podcast and in trying to enlighten people like myself. And obviously you've already had your moment with it, but it's just more along the lines of like, it's been so ingrained in our society to eat this way and to turn a blind eye. And I think for most of us, when we think of a steak, we think of the thing that you go to the grocery store and you see it wrapped up. And that's what but you have no conscious way of actually having a, you don't see the whole process that gets you to from that point to where you see it on your dinner table. And I think really what the idea of carnism and what they're trying to coin with this term and everything is the idea that putting a face or an animal to what you're actually doing and consuming and also the process of getting that animal from that point to that point. And the more I think people understand that, and I think the more people recognize that and turn less of a blind eye to that, you're going to see more people becoming probably more like myself and like yourself. And that will probably change, will have a greater cause of social change where you're hoping that eventually those farms, those factory farms will become less and less of a thing.
And yeah, I mean, that for me, that would be the main point I would say is that it's not necessarily about the, you know, putting the face to the name or sorry, putting the face to the package of meat. It's more about the way our society produces meat and how much meat is needed, right? And the effects of our environment from that process, right? Like we don't need all these manufacturing plants and we don't need all this infrastructure to be producing as much meat as we can. That to me would be the main, that's my main sort of takeaway from doing any research on veganism and all that kind of stuff, right? Because if someone wants to eat meat, that's fine. And you know, it's the same, you can argue the same thing for hunting. A lot of hunting, which people don't know, a lot of like staunch like vegans and like anti-hunting people don't realize that there's actually sanctioned, there's a part of the human-animal relationship in terms of thinning out certain species and helping environmental ecosystems absolutely thrive. Yeah. And what people don't realize that—
You need a predator.
Yeah. You need these hunters that come up, and especially in BC, it's a huge industry. They're actually designated hunting zones where you can actually— there's specific set animals that they deem to be ready to be taken out of their environment, right? And I'm not like advocating hunting at all. Like for a vegan to be like saying that actually there is some genuine need for hunting, aside from just the sportsmanship of it or the gamesmanship. You know, the same thing can be said for the food industrial complex. Like if you need to eat meat and you have to do it, like that's fine. If you like it, whatever. Just the, on the scale that we're doing needs to be like drastically reduced, right? Like it's not going to go away. It's just like when people talk about carbon tax, they're going to eventually make it illegal for people to drive gas cars, but people are still going to do it. There's going to be designated areas like out in fucking probably the southwest of America where they just drag race all day and fucking drink Diet Coke or whatever. But it's not going to go away 100%, but as long as we can reduce it to a point where it's like sustainable, that's like my big thing.
Absolutely.
I'm going to turn Jamie into a vegan.
Fuck.
I can already see it, man. What's your girlfriend going to say?
I love pork chops. Pork chops are delicious. Don't take
what about a pork chop grown in a petri dish? Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's what's going to happen. All our food's going to be like fucking Star Trek. Yeah. You hit a button, it's just going to come down.
That's great. That's going to save me like 20 minutes. Well, okay. That's going to save me an hour of meal prep time.
Yeah.
But getting a...
Fuck, we're turning into the Matrix. Fucking turning into the Matrix. Holy shit. I'm going to wake up one day and I'm going to be a fucking battery.
So. Yeah. And you'll be dreaming forever in the utopia of the late 21st century.
Why can't it be Neo? Why can't it be Neo?
Yeah, I might just actually stay asleep and take the blue pill.
Take the blue pill?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else going on in your life lately, buddy?
No, I mentioned plant-based. And I also just want to re-mention Nada, the zero packaging grocery store that's now on Fraser and Broadway. If you haven't gone to check it out, check it out. It's amazing. If you don't have any actual containers, resealable containers, they'll sell some to you. You can get bamboo toothbrushes. You can get eco-friendly everything from deodorant to dental floss. You can get frozen goods. Man, really, really great. I'd really like to see it eventually over time. Let's get a few different zero packaging and zero waste grocery stores, like somewhere like LA or Portland. But we have one now, which is really great. And I think people should really go and support it.
Perfect. I like that. Let's see here.
NADA. Nada.
Nada.
Nada.com.
Excellent. Is it a big store?
No, it's small.
Small.
Okay. But it's super cool.
Okay. Where is it? Broadway and?
Broadway and Fraser.
Broadway and Fraser?
Yep. Okay. 686 Fraser, I think. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's kind of crazy.
Just Google it, man. Fuck, we live in. Just Google it.
Let's see here. Since I've last seen you, I was in Saskatoon.
Yes, you were.
I was visiting family. That was a lot of fun.
Dave?
Brother's doing well. I went to a really cool restaurant out there. This place called Hearth in Saskatoon. It's actually near Leawood. I want to give them a shout out. They cool new little restaurants. I'm actually on the street that I grew up on, which is kind of fun.
Oh, nostalgia.
Let's see here. I went to Pepino's here in Vancouver, the new spaghetti house done by the guys from Savio Volpe.
Finally.
So
okay.
It was good. It was nice. It literally felt like I walked into the set of Goodfellas. So
then they're doing the job. Did they have the checkered tablecloths?
They did have the check. They did have
fantastic.
All, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And
it's like
baskets.
They didn't have baskets, but they give you like the kind of the bread idea, and it's like dark red carpeting. And Romano, the maitre d' there, took care of us, and he was awesome. And I knew one of the chefs there. He brought us out actually prime rib,
nice,
which I never eat. So, but it was good. I mean, the spaghetti and the meatballs were, and the lasagna were fucking awesome. Yeah, did you hear
if
about
they
this?
Have any vegan stuff? Probably not.
Yeah. And remember when I think we talked about this on one of our last podcasts, but I guess Solly's Bagelry here in Vancouver just read on Scout that they had to shut down this past week or like recently because they couldn't get any labor.
Huh.
Which goes back to what I've been talking about a lot.
Is it on Main Street?
Yeah. Well, they have various locations. They have one on Broadway. They have one on just off 8th, right by Whole Foods, actually. But yeah, that kind of talks about the whole idea that I've talked about and I've written about when it comes to like this new minimum wage, labor shortage. And
so they had to shut down the whole company?
No, they just weren't
just
able to
location.
Open. They just weren't able to open certain days. Yeah, because they just can't get people to work.
Yeah.
So, and that just, we're going to have to do a full podcast on that. And, yeah.
Scandinavian Work Week, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I think it's summertime. No one wants to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and outside of that, oh, went to the McKenzie room. Haven't been there in a while. And shout outs to Maddie Bishop, who's one of the chefs there. But that food at that restaurant is so fucking good. And had the chicken of the sea, which is like their sea urchin dish. And then their, you'd love their showstopper salad. It's just like this like 30-ingredient massive salad. And then he gave us this really awesome ensalada salad with like peaches and some prawns. And everything was fucking unreal. And then went to Kisa Tanto, which was really nice afterwards. And yeah, it was a nice good time. So checking out some of the Vancouver scene here. So if you guys have...
Did you have a few cocktails at all?
I had a few cocktails. No, actually, it was mostly wine.
Okay.
So, yeah, so... but I did have a Maker's Mark Sour that they did with a little bit of... what's the vermouth that we both love? I just can't think of the word right now.
Is it Carpano. The Averna?
No, Carpano Antico. Yeah, it was delicious.
I like Averna. I don't know exactly what you mean.
Averna's an Amari.
Yeah,
that's right. What's wrong with you? Call yourself a bartender. But things, yeah, it's been good. It's been good to kind of like reconnect and go back to some of these places. So if you haven't been to the McKenzie Room, highly recommend that here in Vancouver. Kisa Tanto, another great spot. Yeah, and Pepino's was a great time. And I just wanted to give shout outs to those places. Thanks for listening today. This is episode 11 of the Track and Food Podcast. And if you have any comments for us on this, or if you want to send us anything, you can. I think you can email us at trackandfoodpod@gmail.com. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's our trackandfoodpod at gmail.com.
There you go. Do check out...
Send us some animal gifts or something.
Yes.
I'm bored a lot of the time, so...
Do check out our Instagram page. It's under Track and Food. We're going to be posting a Facebook page soon. Check out the website that I write on. I'm hopefully going to have a new article up there soon on Medium. That's Medium and then Track and Food. Do subscribe to us. Do pass us along to any of your friends. And rate us. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. And
subscribe for the love of God.
Yes,
subscribe.
Yes, yes, we love it. More people listening, the better. We are hoping to have some good guests coming up soon. And yeah, thank you for listening and have a great day.